Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, episode 1, 2, 2, and with me, Robin, is Martin.
Hello, I'm back.
You're back.
I can't remember where you said I'd gone previously, but
well, we it was an undisclosed location, I think.
Okay.
One of those places. But you managed to make it out. Your lawyer made a good plea for your case.
Yes. Yeah. All sorted. Thankfully. You know, charges pending. But okay, yeah.
I think trading Alex for you was a little bit unconventional. I haven't seen that done in the court of law before.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, no, he took the rat for me, took the fall. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, yeah.
He's a nice guy, yeah. Took all the blame. So I'm now only an accessory as opposed to the main perpetrator.
Is that how it worked? Oh, I see. Right, so you might still have some charges cause, as an accessory, but Alex
That's
is
it.
Taking... Oh, okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Weirdly, okay, yeah. Quite a light sentence, I thought. 21 days in maximum security prison full of child rapists.
It's unusual.
I thought it wasn't unusual, but...
It's unusual.
Fair.
That was enough punishment in itself, they said.
So, well, we'll have to ask Alex how he feels after he comes out. Will he be able to sit down? We don't know. But you'll be able to see for yourselves when you're watching this on YouTube, if you're watching us on YouTube, or listen to us on the podcast platform of your choice. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we shall be discussing weird... surprising, interesting facts about parenthood. And I'm so glad that you could make it for this one, Martin, because I think it's common knowledge. You're not, at least it's public knowledge. You are yourself a parent.
Father of 15. Yes, no, it would have been weird if it was just you and Alex doing this one, actually.
Totally inappropriate, I think, if it was just the two of us, not you. Yeah.
So Perhaps. No, not that I'm going to shed too much insight, but, you know... Yeah, I've got some experience of this.
Well, because I was surprised, actually, some of the things I learned whilst reading about this. And as someone who isn't a parent, I've only got the one-sided child's view of things. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say and confirming or denying whether some of these things are true. But the scientists have said so. So
at the end, do we have to decipher whether this puts you off or makes you want
to become a parent? Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's worth asking. asking the audience, indeed.
Yes.
Normally, these podcasts are broadcast live on YouTube on Mondays at 9 p.m. GMT or BST, depending on the time of year. BST being British summertime, which we're in right now. GMT being wintertime. Greenwich Mean Time. Normal time is wintertime. Note that fact.
Spewing out the facts here.
Oh, man, yes. What we're here for. However, today, we won't be doing This Week We Learned because it's just the two of us. We thought we'd skip straight to addressing your comments from previous episodes, and then we'll get into the meat of the discussion. But before that, I will read you a riddle and reveal the answer to said riddle at the end of the episode. So please remind me, Martin, in case I forget.
There's
a genuine chance I'd forget.
There's a genuine chance I'll forget to remind you too. Yeah, I'll try.
It's possible. Okay, do you want to hear a riddle?
Go on then.
Okay. It's a nice short one. I didn't bring an Anglo-Saxon one today. I mean, I've got the books behind me, but I can't be bothered. So, today's riddle is, what is at the end of the rainbow?
Oh, how lovely.
Oh.
Fear and depression.
Oh my gosh. Wow, okay. Well, that's Martin's guess.
That's
I'll reveal the answer at the end. But what is at the end of the rainbow? So looking forward...
So it doesn't really feel like a riddle. I mean, where's the... I'm trying to decipher where the riddle in that could be.
This is a classic one. I feel like this meets Alex's seal of approval for kind of a riddle that will irritate you. Or you take
gold or anything.
Yeah. You know, well, that's the thing. Like, the answer's gold. A pat of gold, clearly.
Yeah, a pat of gold. Yeah, yeah. No stereotypes there, just, you know.
No, well, they're leprechaun.
Yes.
They're Irish. I don't know from where in Ireland they originate, so what their authentic accent would actually be. But maybe they don't have an Irish accent. Maybe they're, like, immigrants to Ireland, so they don't have Irish accents. They have non-Irish accents.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, away from the leprechauns, let's park that.
Yeah, away from the leprechauns, then on to a big, big thank you, actually. I'd like to say thank you to our Patreon supporters and YouTube members who
are
people who keep this channel going. You're wonderful people. Thank you to all of you, everyone who donates, everyone who's a Patreon supporter or YouTube member gets access to our a little more interesting videos, which we put up exclusive to them. They also get access to our Discord server, and they get little behind-the-scenes tidbits, and sometimes even early access to our non-podcast videos. We hope to make more documentaries and things in the future, and you guys, all of our wonderful supporters, get early access to that. And in particular, I want to say thank you to James, Still Not Bitten, Safu One, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Janie, Henny Ruffle, The Super Show Podcast, Nicholas Dill, Emmett Tapia, Ahmad, Peaswad, Josh Chomatek, A Filthy Casual, Simon Workman, and Captain Wonky.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you guys. Yeah, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. That's a lot of people as well, so thank you so much.
It is. It's a huge number. It never fails to amaze me just how many people give us support. It's absolutely incredible. And yeah, thank you. Thanks to you, we're able to make such nicely presented YouTube live streams. And hopefully, he says, crossing his fingers, nice sounding YouTube live streams, because this equipment was bought by you guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Martin, speaking of supporters and listeners, any comments you want to respond to from the last couple of weeks?
Well, I wasn't here last week, so I thought there were a couple of comments that were written in my absence, which was nice. And thank you very much. And I mean, there weren't too many people saying they miss me, which would have been nice.
Well, but, I deleted all those comments. That's fine.
No, well, that's fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But there were a couple, and one of them was from Nita C, who says, "Poor Martin, he should have given it a rest with the mummy powder." And of course, that is referring to the week before, where we talked about the disgusting medical practices, one of them being ingesting the remains of mummies for its healing powers. Mm. And then the second one was from Desolator Magic, who wrote, "I watched the whole thing, and not once did Martin hack the live stream." I didn't hack it. I didn't hack it. And the reason I didn't hack it is because it wasn't a live stream.
Sadly.
You recorded that one just as a video. So that's the reason why. But Desolator Magic, if it had been a live stream, I'd been all over it. I'd been hacking that way.
That's the reason that wasn't a live stream. Alex and I were nervous that you would hack it with your incredible resources from prison.
Exactly. All kinds of people are in prison. It's fine.
Yeah, lots of skills there. It's a great kind of crash course in all kinds of mad skills, especially hacking. Who knows? I've got a comment from LW again on the Biggest Broadcast Hacks, which was our previous podcast. And he says, or they say, "Hi guys, great episode as per usual, despite Martin's unfortunate absence." So there you go.
Sad to see you go.
I've been reading a book called Great Military Blunders by the author Jeffrey Reagan. Maybe you guys could do a video on the topic, just an idea.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a fantastic idea. I'm definitely up for that. Yeah, I feel like they do note that, of course, it's subjective, great military blunders, but I feel like you can quantify a military blunder to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, I think so. Do you remember, off topic, do you remember this show on the BBC and during those Total War games where...
Is this the one with Tony Robinson?
I can't remember who presented it, probably.
Yeah, and I think I know the one you're talking about.
And they recreated old military battles, and then they got given whichever army, the defending or the attacking side. And then they had to decide what to do.
Yeah, they got like ordinary people, didn't they?
It was like time commanders. Time commanders?
Could be. I honestly don't remember the name at all. But I remember the show. Was it like they had a big table? In a big kind of strategy room. And it was like a reality show. They got ordinary people, weren't they?
Time commanders. Don't know where I picked that from.
Yeah. Were they ordinary people or were they historians who knew what they were doing?
So they were ordinary people.
Yeah, I thought so.
And then they had an historian who then came on and said how the battle happened in real life.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, talking about historical blunders, I mean, some of those teams, my goodness. Yeah, let's put all infantry at the bottom of the hill and wait for the cavalry charge.
Yeah. The crazy thing about that, they had pretty good for the time, I remember, CGI animations of the armies.
Yeah, it was from Total War, the engine. Yeah.
Oh, it was it? Okay.
Yeah.
It was. I remember being quite impressed by that.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah, genuinely, bring that back. That's a good show.
So yes, Historical Blunders, LW.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Great recommendation. Thank you. Hmm. And we have so many great comments, but I thought I would indulge your pal Val, who is having a bit of a streak at the moment and we're reading out her comments quite a lot. And says, again, on last week's episode, The Biggest Broadcast Hacks, says, as soon as I read the title, I thought of Max Headroom. And I guess a lot of people listening would, mm-hmm. Says, I know of the infamous disruption, but have never become familiar with the character Max Headroom, either because this was before I was born or because I'm from the US. Which, it's weird because it was played by, Max Headroom was played by Matt Frewer, who is a Canadian actor and obviously really big on sitcoms and movies in America. So because of that, I always assume Max Headroom is such an American thing. But as we revealed last episode, it was a Channel 4 comedy sketch. So it's a very British thing.
Makes it even more weird.
For whoever the hacker was in America, they're like, American audiences who don't know Max Headroom be like, what the hell is this?
Well, it's strange, isn't it? Because we're talking a Channel 4 British sketch. We're talking Doctor Who. And then in Chicago, right? Chicago?
Yes.
So British character, British TV show.
Yeah, good Chicago. Point, actually. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sending us those comments. Please do keep commenting. Share your thoughts on this video on YouTube, or send us your thoughts if you listen to us on a podcast platform of your choice to our Twitter at JInterestingYT, or to me directly, I'm at AllTimeRobin.
And I'm at MartInteresting.
Please do feel free to follow us, tweet at us. Also, we have a Twitch, twitch.tv/just_interesting, which we do occasional video game live streams on. I'm thinking of doing one in a couple of weeks, actually.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking of dusting off my old Xbox, and I mean original Xbox copy of Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, which is the game I never completed. Yeah, well, I played it, but never got past a certain point because it's a game from 2003, and it's notorious for some of its hitboxes being a little off. And there's a platforming always got stuck at. So I've never made it further than 2 hours into the game, despite playing about 15 hours on it, because I just hit this bit every time and failed. So I'm hoping to do a live stream and hopefully get past that bit, now that I'm a bit older, a bit wiser. Or it will just be
20 years ago. Yeah.
A 5 hour, 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, getting old. It might just be a 5 hour live stream of me trying and failing to jump across this platform.
That could also be interesting.
Yeah. Oh well. So yeah, I might do that. If people want to watch that, let me know. Send me a message, comment below, whatever. but shall we, Martin, get into the main topic?
Oh, let's.
Okay. The weirdest, the strangest, the most surprising facts about parenthood.
Yes.
But you seem generally positively disposed. Let's begin with that, actually.
Absolutely.
Well, Martin, as a father, are you, bearing in mind this is broadcast live to the world, are you for or against parenthood?
I've got to be for, haven't I? No, but genuinely, yes. Mm. As we'll come on to.
Yeah.
There's definitely positives and negatives with parenting, of course. Mm-hmm. Plenty of them, mm-hmm. which are, of course, well documented. It takes up a lot of time, takes a lot of money, can be quite stressful at times, lack of sleep, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But there can also be some positive effects there too. And one of them I'll definitely come on to within this discussion, a very positive effect.
Okay.
Studies have revealed a positive health effect. I mean, children. I won't see any more. Of course, I'm pro. I'm good. Pro parenthood. I've got to be, and I am.
Methinks he doth protest too much. as someone who isn't a parent, I'd hope I'd enjoy it as much as you do. But I have to admit, some mixed feelings looking into it for this video, doing the research. So I'll start with some kind of, I uncovered some very just pure facts that there's no kind of subjective judgment about parenthood at all here. It's just basic biological facts. If you don't mind me leading with this.
Yeah, it just depends on which ones you decide to
So I'll start with a question. Martin, since becoming a dad, do you feel that you have improved your skills in areas such as planning, focusing without distraction, and problem solving?
Ooh, good question. Parenthood giveth and taketh away. Some of those skills definitely would have been improved, but then a lack of sleep can sometimes taketh away
Oh,
from
of
the
course.
ability to multitask, to problem solve. But
Yeah.
yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Yeah, often you're trying to get things done with distraction, like at the same time, various different distractions. And so naturally you have the ability to, I wouldn't say necessarily like multitask, but focus on one thing, know what the priority is, and then move on to the next priority in order of importance.
Okay.
So I'd say that definitely has improved.
Well,
But
that's
yeah,
good.
I'd say so overall, yeah, probably.
I'm glad to hear it because Dr. Anna Machin, or Machin, I'm not quite sure I say her name, says that you should have experienced that improvement because apparently, according to her studies, there's a physiological change in the brain. People who aren't fathers and people who are fathers, there's a difference in that areas of the brain which are used for planning, focusing without distraction, and problem solving. Are more utilized and better. I'm not quite sure how you measure they're better. But she also says unconsciously, you see, and this is kind of obvious, accelerated activity in areas of the brain related to nurturing and risk detection.
Yes.
I mean,
Okay. Yeah.
that sounds kind of
You'd
obvious to
expect, you'd hope so, wouldn't
me. You
you?
would hope so.
Yes.
Also, another. I don't know what you think. I found this next statement to be another kind of statement of the obvious. But according to her research, fathers become much more empathetic to other people. In particular, fathers get much more emotional when they see news reports about children being hurt, or they watch dramas where children are in danger or being hurt. Now,
Interesting.
she's presents
Empathetic.
that. Well, okay, you're about to deny that you
Yeah.
have any empathy for other
No,
people?
not at all. But I think that your empathy is probably focused more on that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I wouldn't. I'd say yeah. I like yeah. Of course. Like if you see something on the news that happens, you're like, well, if that happened in my scenario, it'd be awful, wouldn't it? That's natural. Just like if you've got, I don't know, a dog, and then someone's gone and killed
Yeah.
10 dogs and left them in a heated car. You're like, oh,
This is
that's
my
really bad
thing.
because I've got a dog.
Yeah, so Dr. Anna presents this as though it's a, I mean, she's done the research, so but she presents it as though it's some
An
kind of,
increase in empathy. It's more of a relating to that
well, exactly.
empathy.
It's just that that's how empathy works. It's by definition, you have experienced the same thing. It's like, it's any kind of grief, right? If you've never had a loss, you're not going to empathize as well with people who are suffering a loss as you would if you had had a loss, or if someone breaks an arm and you've never broken an arm. Almost guaranteed the other person who has broken an arm is going to have a bit more empathy. That's
100%.
how life works. But I'm sure it's scientifically supported, but I do find that like a little bit of a funny statement. Apparently this may be connected to though hormones, because as a dad, Martin, I'm sorry to say your testosterone levels will have dropped.
No,
Whereas
incredibly
mine, of
envious.
course, are sky high as
Yeah,
always,
of
as you
course.
can
Yeah,
tell
that's the
from
way it
my
works.
toned body and
Yes.
incredibly masculine physique.
Okay, interesting. So is that connected supposedly to the empathy and reduced? Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know. She didn't claim that there's a direct connection there, but it's the same studies have shown that testosterone levels in fathers are reduced. The theory behind that is apparently that testosterone is useful when being a kind of macho man when you're competing for. But once you're a dad, two things happen. The first is that you don't need to compete because you've got your family unit already. And maybe the testosterone inhibits, and this is a biological fact, testosterone inhibits the functions of oxytocin and dopamine. And these two things go into hyperdrive, these two hormones. When you are cuddling or playing. So, having, I guess, maybe people who aren't fathers but who have dogs, because there's often that joke about I don't have a child, but I have a dog, kind of.
Yeah, I'm a dog dad.
Maybe that's the same thing. But apparently, yeah, when you're cuddling children or cuddling people and playing with children, you get oxytocin and dopamine. But the effect of those is suppressed by testosterone. So a reduction in testosterone helps enhance that, which then makes you a better protective father, because you're like, oh, my baby, I love my baby.
I see, okay.
I think is this theory behind that. I don't know. Do you find your cuddles are just as special as always, or have they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, being, you should do, and you should want to show that affection, shouldn't you? So, yeah. Yeah, and it's a nice thing to do. I wouldn't be consciously aware of any kind of changing levels of other things, but that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting that would be the case, and it stands to reason, doesn't it? Biologically, it stands to reason. But I think what's quite common that we find in all of these interesting facts is that it's a very parenthood is a very personal and, in a lot of ways, unique set of circumstances to each individual.
Yeah.
So you can say all these things, but actually it might not be relevant to some.
That's true. Because, I mean, you get dads, though, who are, like you say, oh, testosterone levels drop. But there are some dads, he's just like, man, his testosterone levels before he was a dad must have been like through the roof, because that guy is aggressive and not seemingly affectionate towards the children.
Oh, yeah, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, your stress levels can increase.
Yeah.
Just because of the, you know, there's a lot more going on and your time is split between different things and you're perhaps rushing around more and less sleep and, you know, all sorts of things can contribute to just, yeah.
I've got a hormone fact about that as well.
Interesting.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, please do.
So as you expect, because your stresses are higher, you as a parent should have increased levels of cortisol, which goes into cortisone, the drug. Yeah, you've got high levels of cortisol. But there was a study into cortisol levels in parents of teenagers and their teenage children to see if there was any kind of pattern. And the study found that high levels of cortisol in a teenager would predict by about 24 hours high levels of cortisol in parents.
Yeah,
but not the other way around. So what that basically means is cortisol, as a hormone that's released by the body to help calm you down to deal with stress, basically teenagers are stressed and they make the parents stressed for the next 24 hours. But if parents are stressed, it doesn't stress out the teenagers.
Interesting.
It doesn't work both ways. It's definitely a one-way street. So if you're a parent of teenagers, anyone listening to this, and of course eventually you, Martin, just be aware that most of your stress, your cortisol levels will spike as a direct result of your teenage children.
It gets worse. Wow. Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. That does show, doesn't it, that teenagers just really don't give a shit.
Yeah, they're so wrapped up in themselves, they just don't give a damn.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's fascinating, that fact. That's amazing. Oh, cool.
That's a good response. I'm glad. I was worried you'd be like, oh, no, what we've done.
That's the thing, though. It's like, on the one hand, you think that you can maybe relate on a more adult level to teenagers. Mm. And then on the other side, it's just like, oh, no, I know the reality is just going to be, could be. Tricky. Could be. We'll see.
Well, I mean, you're right. That's true. Like, I feel like I know, just anecdotally from the people I know, there's enough examples of people who are nightmarish teenagers, or at least had a strained relationship with parents as teenagers, as many of them as there are people who seem to have had great times as teenagers. It seems so hit and miss.
Yeah.
You just never know, it seems. Yeah.
I think that's very true. That's very true. It goes back to your personal experience and the way that you parent, and naturally genetic, if people are genetically dispositioned to be probably, you know, more anxious as teenagers or as people in general, then it's going to cause more issues, isn't it?
Yeah.
Intriguing.
So what have you got? What have you found out about being a parent?
Well, that's it, isn't it? Like, I found out a fact on sleep deprivation for the first one I looked at was sleep deprivation, because I remember getting no sleep when our first was born. The reason being that for the first 10, 12 weeks, they had colic. So so it's just basically what would happen is our daughter would be awake screaming for the whole of the night from about 9 p.m.
Yeah.
until about 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then would fall asleep as soon as I got up to go to work.
Great.
Yeah. So then I'd be on the train. I'd get sleep on the train, somehow get through the work day. And this was when we were commuting up to
I remember actually. I never wanted to say it because I assumed you felt bad, but some days you looked awful.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then of course sleep on the way back too, and set an alarm so that I didn't miss the train stop.
Oh man.
So yeah, so sleep deprivation was definitely a thing. And it gets better at certain ages. But apparently, according to this study, so that's just my experience.
Yeah.
But apparently, sleep deprivation can go on for as long as 6 years. So you can be sleep deprived because of your child waking up at different times up until their...
6 years?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which is quite a lot. And apparently, according to the study, over the first 2 years of a baby's life or child's life, you can lose as much as 6 months worth of sleep.
That's a quarter of the time.
It sounds insane, but when you break it down, you're like, yeah, I can see myself going from sleeping 8 hours to sleeping like 6 hours, 5 hours, right? And that's all that would take to lose that 6 months worth. But it just sounds so extreme.
It does, yeah. Six whole months.
So extreme.
Yeah.
So of course it varies for different people, but I thought that was a pretty crazy stat that you can lose that much sleep. Of course, people that have like twins, and I don't even want to imagine what that would be like. It must be horrendous.
Yeah, twice as hard or just as bad, because presumably they wake each other up.
You think so? Wouldn't you?
Yeah. So maybe if you can get them both down just as easily as each other, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they just go into this like this weird cycle where they feed each other with their screams, and they just won't go to sleep. And you're like, oh my gosh, how do we do this?
Yeah, exactly.
I sometimes wonder if I were to have children, I sometimes think, would twins be easier because you just kind of like...
Just get it done.
Get it done, yeah. Like, no need to have any more after that. Like, yeah, we've got two kids, fine, yeah.
There's definitely something to having kids closer together. I mean, it's difficult you're right. In the short term, it's tough. But then you're like, oh, the kids are here and no more of that again. Because I'm very much like, I'm fine, like two's enough. Don't have to go through that again. Don't want to risk... that sleep deprivation within the first year is pretty crazy. So that is definitely a negative of parenthood, but it doesn't last forever. In fact, it doesn't, in the scheme of things, it doesn't last that long at all. So that was interesting. And then the second part I've got, which is kind of connected to this, is around the effects of that on your health.
Tom, I don't know if I want to hear this.
So there was a study in 2006 by the American Journal of Human Biology.
Okay.
And they tracked a whole load of births in Poland and found that women lost 95 weeks of life for every child they carried.
No.
But there are reasons for this, right? That makes sense. Okay. And this was this one study, okay? Right. The reasons that they gave, the primary reasons were usually like post-natal, after giving birth, certain things. So sometimes there can be pregnancy-related diabetes, and there can be like high blood pressure that develops as a result of pregnancy. And then, of course, like the fact that your baby and kids are taking all your nutrients and energy for like a while, right, if you're feeding. Right. So there are reasons why that would be the case. But there are other studies that suggest that actually being a parent, having children can help you live longer. And so another study that was conducted in Sweden at the Karolinska Institute suggests that at the age of 60, that this study found that 60-year-olds who have children may live up to 2 years longer than their childless counterparts. So as long as you're not dead by 60, which is a big if.
Yeah.
Then apparently you can actually improve your longevity.
That 6 months of lost sleep then translates to
it's worth it.
2 years of extra life.
Exactly, and you're awake for that time, so you're living. You know, don't worry about the screen. you're living more life. And there are plenty of reasons for this. So, some of the ones that have been kind of brought up are the fact that there's more social support when you're a parent. So you have like a bigger social network, and there'll be like the emotional support of your peers and of the children themselves. And especially when you get older, you know, your children caring for you, making sure that you're okay, and,
right.
You know, calling out the doctors if you're feeling unwell and making sure that, you know, these things happen.
Right. So just like that, those little things add up and increase your probability.
Yeah. So there's that social dynamic and having that network of support, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The second primary one is lifestyle changes. So a lot of parents, when they have kids, are like, oh, you know, got to change for the better. I've got to stop smoking. Got to get healthy for my kids. Your lifestyle, you might be like running around with your kids, right? So just generally
more
having
active,
children can be quite an active thing. So that can definitely contribute to you thinking like you need to live healthier for your children, and then of course doing activities with your children. And there's also the psychological well-being, which sometimes I would argue that the psychological well-being of having children when you're up at 5 a.m. for the third morning in a row and you've got a full day of work on can sometimes be a bit of a hassle.
Yep.
But overall, psychologically having children supposedly can increase your mental health and also your physical health too. One of the other ones, which is specifically more to do with women, is the hormonal fluctuations that occur during pregnancy.
Okay.
So these can alter your immune responses to be able to care and care for your baby, right?
Yeah.
Develop certain hormones, and this can actually have a long-lasting effect post-birth, so a long time post-birth, not just you know during pregnancy, but after as well.
Yeah.
And then there's also the grandparenting effect. So not only are you a parent, but then you're more likely to become a grandparent, and therefore in your older age you have a more, you know, you have youth around you. You know, the whole thing of, you know, having youth around you and remaining young and
really, yeah,
remaining active when you're older age because you have children around you. You have something to maybe, you know, I don't want to say you have more to live for, but potentially you have more reason to stay healthy, to stay active.
Right.
Seeing your grandchildren as well as just, you know, when you're a parent as well. And there are a fair few others, but I'm just going to focus on. We've kind of gone over to that one already. I think those are really the main ones. But the other one that I would say is that you have to look at causation and correlation separately, right?
Yeah. Because
it could be that there's a correlation between having children and living longer, but then potentially people that are in a position to have children maybe are slightly better off, potentially, right. not always the case, but that can be the case. I think you've got to look at that as well. It's not a direct link between children and health. But 2 years is a lot, isn't it?
The
effects tend to be found more in women than they do in men. And that might be because of the kind of the social connection between a mother and their children. And there's more of that kind of, as you were saying, more of the oxytocin. Flowing through, because they may be more likely to give hugs potentially. Maybe it's a massive stereotype.
I think that's definitely a stereotype, but I think it still stands. I hope it can change for our generation, that dads and children are on slightly more cozy terms. But yeah, definitely up until now, I'd say it's still a stereotype that holds true in the West, at least, that dads are emotionally a little bit more detached from their kids. It's true of adoptive parents as well, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, so even more so, in fact. Yeah, the link between adoptive parents and their health is and increases in longevity of life is even more pronounced, which is interesting. And it does make you wonder why that's the case. I mean, potentially because it's always going to be a conscious decision to care for or nurture. It hasn't been brought upon you.
Mm.
So maybe there's more kind of affection that they're showing and they want to connect with their children potentially.
Right.
I don't know.
So you mean like some people become parents by accident and therefore their stress levels kind of counterbalance the positive effects of being a parent.
Possibly,
Whereas,
possibly.
but yeah, is that what you meant? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But the other factor could be that adoptive parents tend to be more stable, and there are rigorous background checks that they're in a position to be able to
That's
care for and cater for
true.
children. So it might be that they just live longer because they are naturally the kind of people that would live longer anyway because of
That's true,
their social standing.
yeah, your economic status is really important, isn't it, to being
Yeah.
an adoptive parent, which whereas you don't have to have any kind of economic status to become a biological parent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so and as we know, yeah, economic status completely has an effect on your lifespan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So just by nature of the way adoption works as a system, people who become adoptive parents are naturally going to be people who live longer.
That's what I'm thinking. That's
Yeah.
what I'm thinking. I don't have any real evidence to back that up, but that's the back to the causation correlation argument. Definitely, it's a correlation between adoptive parents and living longer, but is the cause that they adopt, or is it that they would live longer regardless because of the kinds of people that adopt
I mean,
tend to be healthier?
it's
I don't
certainly
know.
a massive fact in favor of parenthood. The fact that it applies to both biological and adoptive parents
Yeah.
is promising.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, two years by the time you're 60, that's not insignificant. That's a
Does it
decent
keep stacking
achievement.
up beyond that point?
No, so the diminishing
Oh.
returns. By the time you're 80, I think it goes down to 0.7 years in terms of
Right.
how much longer you're likely to live than someone else who's 80, who's a singleton.
Right, I see.
So it drops, of course, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
As you'd expect. So yeah, so there's not the cumulative effect doesn't continue, but still, you know,
What
if you're
what about multiple children? Say if you have, do you get more years? Is it certain, is
yeah.
it 2 years per child, or is it like, you know?
So the study suggests that between two to four children is the sweet spot. So if you have less than two children,
Right.
if you have one child, then it's less than having two children is, but more than having zero. And if you, of course, if you have over four children, then there's a, you know, the bell curve starts to dip down as well. Although certain studies have suggested that there's a, especially in the Amish community, suggested that there's a continuous link between having more children and an increase in your
Really?
longevity of your life,
Yeah.
which is probably why they just keep on going. I want to live forever, just keep having children.
That kind of relates to stress and happiness levels. And I found a few studies that talked about happiness as a parent. And I hope you're ready to hear this.
Okay.
It's a weird one. The studies are interesting, I think. I don't know if you've seen
Okay.
these. So the gist of all studies is that when you become a parent, your happiness goes down by quite a significant margin. S single people or unmarried, oh, sorry, or married but not parents, people are a lot happier than parents.
Okay.
Yep, sorry to say that. But
Shame.
it gets worse
Oh,
the younger you are. So
I
if
see.
so,
Okay.
the younger a parent you are, the more unhappy you are as a
Okay.
parent.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's you're at your most unhappy when the children are young. So when they're really young, in particular. Basically,
I can
the
understand
closer to the
why.
birth you are, the more unhappy you are as a
I
parent.
can understand why a young parent would be unhappy.
Yeah, they feel like
Yeah.
their whole life's thrown away, I imagine, when you if you're really young.
Yeah. If that's not what you wanted, I imagine that that's the case, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I don't know if these studies have distinguished between people who chose to become parents and people who, I don't know if they did that. So studies find that when a child is born, parents experience a decrease in happiness, and you can confirm this or you can't. You don't have to, Martin. You don't have to comment on
Can either
this.
confirm or deny.
Parents experience a decrease in happiness and a decrease in marital satisfaction.
Okay, interesting. That's quite, that's a broad term, isn't it?
It's a very broad term.
I guess your attention is divided elsewhere, right? Like you like it's you're juggling a million and one things, especially when a child's life with a newborn. My goodness, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The parents report in studies that being with their children was less enjoyable than activities such as watching TV, shopping, or making dinner.
Oh, that's depressing. But surely that can't be true. I mean, that's honest. That's honest. I give them that for honesty, but surely that can't be true. That is sad.
I'd be able to say what the studies say. Wow. They don't include, in the examples of activities, they didn't seem to include washing up, but I can imagine. I'd like to know where the washing up stood.
What about hanging wet washing out? That's the worst.
I'm afraid that there's also, the more children you have, the less satisfied, the lower marital satisfaction you have as well. Apparently.
Right, yeah.
But it's... There's a difference between men and women, apparently. So mothers of infants, so the younger the child is, mothers, studies report only 38% of respondents who are mothers of infants have good marital satisfaction, compared with 62% of childless women.
Right.
I'd be interested to know if the remaining... 38 at 62 adds up to 100, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So is that 38% of mothers of infants who are happy with their marital status, or their marriage, sorry, are the same 38% who are unhappy when children? You know?
It might be coincidental, right?
I'm sure it is coincidental. I'm just wondering if there is more than a correlation there. Interestingly, for men, it's about the same. Childless men are as happy as... men with children in terms of their marital satisfaction.
Oh, okay. What is it? What's the stat? Do we know?
I don't have the exact figures, okay. but it's apparently it's like statistically within
insignificant.
Within a margin of error. It does get worse. Interestingly, marital satisfaction decreases further in high socioeconomic groups.
Oh, okay.
So the better off you are, the less happy you are with your marriage when you have children.
What would you reckon, what would a reason for that be?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. The only thing I could come up with, and this is again leaning into stereotypes, is that at the moment we live in a society where higher socioeconomic groups tend to come from better educated backgrounds and therefore probably have high aspirations and ambitions for life.
Yeah.
Whereas people with from less educated backgrounds probably have lower aspirations and therefore are less maritally dissatisfied when they have children, because it's kind of part of what they expect from life, you know. Grow up, children, have a job, and that's kind of what they expect. Whereas people from better backgrounds are like, I'm going to become a high-flying lawyer, I'm going to become prime minister, I'm going to... Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my expect.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I guess the opportunity to do things as well. That's definitely one thing that does change. Mm. Like your ability to just be like, I'm going to go, you know, over here with my friends or do something. It's like you can't just do that, you know, because things have got to be a bit more planned. So that spontaneity of being able to do things, and still, yeah, it still can work, but you can't do that all the time whenever you like. Which is something that's a little bit more has to be a little bit more planned.
So, yeah. It's funny you've anticipated the next sentence in this report, which is talking about data suggests that a key reason for marital dissatisfaction is restriction of freedoms.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's described. True. That is true. It's one of the part and parcel of it, right? You do have to be there.
Interestingly, though, going back to this difference between mothers and fathers, a 2011 study found that fathers aged 26 to 62 actually get a happiness boost.
Hmm, good.
Yeah, which again ties in with this whole thing about the younger you are when you become a parent, the less happy you are because you're just too young to deal with it, I guess. But mothers have a trend towards a lower unhappiness or greater unhappiness, whereas dads actually get a boost of happiness.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
And does that get more, does that increase as the older you get? Is that the idea?
No, actually. Well, yes and no. I don't know. Maybe you've seen the statistic and that's why you asked that question. So 2019 study suggests that parents are unhappier than childless people when they're young. But when they're old, they are considerably happier than childless people.
Okay.
So there are two caveats to this. So my first thing is just an instinctive question, which is, is that kind of like, to take a dark example, domestic abusers, one of the techniques they use is to put people down. They make their partner feel absolutely miserable.
Right.
So that when they pay them a compliment, they feel amazing.
Okay.
And they mix compliments with abuse to keep the person emotionally trapped. So my speculation as a person who doesn't have children is that kind of the same thing? This study bears out that when the children are around, the parents are like, oh, I'm so miserable. And then you get older and you look back at the children and you're like, oh, yeah, I feel great now. I don't have to worry about them. They can fend for themselves. They can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I say that because the same studies found that happiness levels in parents who are older is really high and much higher than people who don't have children, as long as the children no longer live at home. The children are still at home. Yeah, when the children are still at home, the older people who have children are no happier, than people who don't have children.
Got it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's great. That's quite something. Yeah. I mean, no one wants a particularly crowded house, do they?
No, I guess not.
So, people happier when they're older. Do you think that part of that is because people that haven't had children are lonely if their friends have moved away or died or their partner's died? That's pretty part of it. That's social connection, isn't it?
That must be something to do with
that's got to be a big part, hasn't it? And then the other part, maybe people thinking that they've kind of missed out on something that's, you know, when they take a step back and look at kind of like life goals and achievements, you think, oh, fantastic, I can do the freedoms to X, Y, and Z. And then like, actually, that would have been something that was quite a big part of life, can be a big part of life.
100%, I think you're right. Because the very same studies, the same ones that measure people's happiness, consistently report that parents say that having children is the best thing they've ever done and that their life has more meaning with children in it, which must, I think that what we just said is like, it must tie into that exactly, where older parents, despite all the stress, despite all the unhappiness they've had as parents of younger children, when they get older, they look back on their life and with rose-tinted glasses, they're like, these are all the great memories I have. And look at the people. I've literally created people. I have furthered the human race. And now I have cute grandchildren who I can play with but don't have to spend all the time with. Yay!
That's the great balance, isn't it? That's what you want as a grandparent, don't you? You can, come on over, but you know, just leave at 4. You know?
Sure, I'll look after them any time for about 2 hours and then they'll be with it. I think you're right. You're hitting the nail on the head there. I think... the sense of meaning parents seem to report to these studies, so as in the sense of purpose they have in their lives, seems to kind of exponentially increase by having children. And I guess people who haven't, I mean, I'm sure for some people it's fine. Like some people presumably make a conscious choice to never have children. They're like, I don't want to do that. That's not a thing I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure many of them, if not all of them, who make that choice, end life in a kind of like, I made the right choices. Mm-hmm. But there must be people, sadly, who either never quite had the confidence to become a parent or never had the opportunity to, and then look on life as they get older when they're unable to because they're too old. You know, there are biological reasons as well as social reasons that, like we talked about adoptive parents earlier, I'm pretty sure there's an age limit on becoming an adoptive parent. Those people who are unable to have children but might have wanted to or just weren't sure become regretful when they look back and say, oh, I wish I'd had that opportunity.
Potentially. Yeah,
and of course, I mean, it does vary by country, though. Studies have proven, and I bet you can guess this, Martin, that and this is a study across Europe and the developed world, so it was deliberately avoiding the developing world because it's not quite a fair comparison. But in the developed world, happiness varies by country. Can you guess what the common factor was between the happiest parents and the unhappiest parents?
Regardless of age or...
Yeah, by nation. It was by nation. So what do you think nations with the happiest parents might have that makes them different from nations with the unhappiest parents?
I mean, resources. Money would be a big factor for parents. Okay. Time. So the time to actually spend with your children.
Uh-huh, yeah. So is there a kind of term that you might use to encapsulate all those things, those advantages that certain parents might have? I might call it government support.
Oh, right, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So 100%, the happiest parents, according to studies, are parents in countries with very generous parental leave, economic support for parents, government supported or government fully funded, not just government subsidized, but fully funded childcare, as well as really good schools and other provisions. For,
so basically, you know, the Nordic countries.
I was about to say, yes, it's the Scandinavian countries that come on the top. UK is on the lower end of the middle because we have some childcare. Can you guess which country was at the bottom of the list?
USA.
It was the USA. How did you guess?
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah, have fun with your 10 days holiday a year, your kids.
So in 2015, they did a study. The study was done from 1984 to 2015 in Germany. Looking at West Germany, because obviously in the 80s it was still divided West and East, but they were looking at West Germany. And they followed parents through across that period from 1984 to 2015, and they stopped in 2015 for a reason. I'll say that in a moment. And they found, interestingly, that as child government support for parents increased, so did parental happiness. Mm-hmm. And whereas mothers, we already talked about greater unhappiness in mothers, didn't seem to change. Fathers in that same period seemed to get happier when they became new fathers.
Yeah.
And what the conclusion the study came to was that even though in the same period of time the expectations on fathers became more onerous as people, you know, the emancipation of women meant that dads were willing to and expected to do more of the child rearing, despite that fact, fathers were getting happier and mothers weren't really getting any happier.
Yes. Yeah.
And they concluded that the difference was, and sad to say this, that as our culture has, in the West at least, has encouraged and expected fathers to become more involved in the child rearing and take on more responsibility, they've actually got happier because there's a huge amount of, hey, you're a great dad. Well done. Hey, man, that's really cool. Well done, you know, emancipating your wife and all that kind of stuff. Whereas there's been none of that for women. It's the whole like, oh yeah, you're just doing what you're expected to do. Yeah, you're a woman, you're a mother, you're raising your children. Yeah, well done. Yeah, what you want me to thank you for doing what you meant to do? I mean, right, they're not saying there's any kind of sexist comments, but they're just saying that women felt no appreciation in that period, whereas men actually, despite doing more as dads, they actually felt happier because there was a whole cultural kind of like, you're a great dad.
Yeah, can't believe it. Which in a sense is almost almost stereotyping too, like, you're actually good at this.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. You're surprisingly, you can do this.
You're babysitting today, are you? No, looking after my children.
Yeah, they're mine. They're my kids,
interesting.
So I thought, just so out of interest, because I wanted to get your reaction. Apparently, the study stopped in 2015 because that's when a new law came into effect. But it was such a big change that the study decided to stop. So apparently, as of 2015, German citizens are entitled to a total of 24 months of paid parental leave.
That's a lot.
That is
per child.
Per parent, per child, yeah.
Wow.
They get paid childcare. The government pays for childcare.
Well, that's something that's insane at the moment. For some reason, the government thinks that a child before the age of three, you just have to sort yourself out. There's no provision for it.
Yeah.
And then after, then it's like 30 hours a week. There's nothing in between. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy. But they are actually changing that, I think. But it's just as, just as our youngest turns three, we get it anyway. Timing.
Yeah. In fact, it's not even going to come into effect until end of next year, which is coincidentally when the next election is supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, yeah. So over the years, that would have cost us tens of thousands of pounds.
Yeah,
but anyway, man.
I'm so sorry. I mean, yeah. So, what do you think now that we've had this discussion? Does all this make sense?
Changed my mind.
Yeah, have you changed your mind? Get the kids back. Yeah.
Does it make sense? Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think, yeah, as I've said, like everything's, it's based on the individual and individual experience. But it is interesting to see these common threads of, what makes people happy in life, especially when they're older versus when they're younger, and it stands to reason, yeah. And also why that would lead to, a better prognosis when you get to age 60 and over, because you do have that support and you do have younger people around and perhaps more healthy and energetic. And yeah, no, it all adds up. But interesting to get the stats and figures behind it.
Yeah. Sorry, just going to comment, anyone listening, that was Martin's dog going nuts in the background there.
I know, I'm trying to mute in between speaking.
That's all right.
Yeah, I've just put him in his crate, otherwise he goes mad and shoots everything up.
You said healthy and energetic, and he's like,
yeah.
Energy!
Yeah!
Oh, I'm glad you're not discouraged from continuing to be a parent to your children.
No. Absolutely not. And I think for nowadays as well, I'd probably be considered a younger parent. Not a young parent, but younger than the average, definitely. But very happy with the way things have gone. But then I think it is down to your personal circumstances. Like, we're very much kind of in a relationship for a decent length of time beforehand, happily married, pretty stable, got both our parents close by. A lot depends on the family dynamic as opposed to just the children coming into the equation, right? So
it's an interesting thing. In a way, it's hard to think that any of these studies are actually particularly useful, because, as you say, the personal circumstances of individual families massively, massively, massively change. Even something as simple as, even if another family had exactly the same situation as you, but the parents both suffered from debilitating diseases or, depression or something, it would just completely change the dynamic,
Oh, 100%.
So, difficult. But yeah, on a completely different note, do you want to know the answer to the riddle?
Oh, yes. Yeah. What was it again? What's at the end of the rainbow?
What would you find at the end of the rainbow? What do you find, sorry, at the end of the rainbow?
What do you find at the end of the rainbow? You find W.
You got it. That's it. Yeah, that's the answer.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a riddle, more like a trick question, but yeah, whatever.
Yes. Good.
The dumb ones are always the best. Aren't they? Yeah. Oh, they're great.
If you get them, if you don't get them, and it's like,
somehow you feel stupid when the answers are dumb and you don't get them, you feel dumb. It's not right.
It's only right.
thanks for this discussion, Martin. I've really, really enjoyed it. And I love getting your perspective as a dad on these crazy, crazy facts and figures. And everyone listening, thank you for listening. But also, please share us your thoughts. If you're a parent, what do all these studies mean to you? Please, if you want to share your happiness, your level of happiness with us, please do. Either in the comments below on YouTube, if you're watching us on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on a podcast platform of your choice, please feel free to get in touch via Twitter at JInterestingYT. Tell us what it's like for you being a parent, or if you're not a parent, do you want to become a parent? And if not, why not? Please do share. There's all kinds of reasons all kinds of opinions people have on parenthood,
Yeah, something that I have been asked numerous times is, oh, you're dad, would you recommend it? And it's like, that's an impossible, like, I wouldn't just say, yeah, great, go for it, because it all depends on everything else that's going on in your life, what your ambitions are,
how, my gosh,
everything. It depends on literally everything.
It's like, so you went to the cinema
touring, and I might be able to give you an answer. Like, for me, yeah, I recommend it. For you, I don't know, maybe not.
Yes, oh man, that's an impossible question, because if you have a genuine opinion, someone can actually say, would you recommend being a father, and you're like, you, no way. Yeah, stay exactly. away from kids, man. Stay away from them.
Oh no!
But you know, it's sometimes it's for the best. Oh, yes. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you for discussing that, Martin. And yes, see you all next time.
See you soon.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.